On behalf of the family, we wish to thank each of you for being here today. And though it's a sad day, we celebrate a life well lived that always went above and beyond. A life that was committed to the needs of others with a steadfast presence. And now indeed, Neil is above and beyond in the heavenly realm. How we rejoice in the news of our Savior. The scriptures which Neil clung to so tightly and knew oh so well, if you attended Vacation Bible School or any of his Sunday school classes or Bible studies or simply knew him in any way, make us this promise that's found in Psalm 46, 1-3. It reads, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, the Lord our God is with us. We are assured and comforted as Romans 8:35-39 reads, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would you please rise if you're able to join us in singing hymn number 85, Now Thank We All Our God. And this day we have much to be thankful for, with the legacy and abundant memories flooding through our minds of Neil. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift and the treasure that Neil has been to so many, and the devotion that he had to your service. We are thankful, Father, he is now in your presence, and no longer suffers in this life. We pray, God, your comfort and your peace and your strength to carry us on in this cherished memory of our husband, father, grandpa, brother, and most of all, friend. We ask you, God, to speak to our loss and enable our lips to share your good news of salvation with others. Guide us and protect us in your loving arms. Lift us up and encourage us in the days ahead as we face the missing presence of Neil in our lives. We pray now as we gather to say goodbye one last time and celebrate the life that he enjoyed here on this earth with passion and intensity, that your presence would be upon us. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. We would invite you to continue to join us in praise of our Heavenly Father's return to number 614. In the bulb, there is a flower. There's something very comforting about sharing memories. And at this time, I'm inviting Neil's son, Kevin, to begin this time of reflection and sharing about Neil's life and the character that he portrayed. And then anyone else who would like to share, you can come forward, or I also have a microphone I can bring to you. So, Kevin, I invite you.
So our family had some time this week to grieve and tell stories and kind of reflect on my dad. And it was funny how in the stories a lot of the same traits and characteristics came up. So I thought I'd write down a few things and share them. We were doing pretty good this week until you guys all showed up. Now it's getting a little harder. So creativity. He was creative and he had a good imagination. My brother remembered he had a large collection of popular mechanics magazines that he liked to read and do projects in those magazines. When he needed something new, he tried to make it, and when something broke, he tried to fix it. He always did that before he went out and bought something. So later in life, he became well known for the wooden toys and the birdhouses that he would make. His grandchildren, a lot of times, were the lucky recipients of the prototypes that he'd make. And him and Mom would go to craft shows, And he'd often take requests from friends and repeat customers. And it was not uncommon for me to be at someone's house or in somebody's backyard and recognize something he made. Family and community. As a husband, dad, and a grandfather, you could count on him to always be there. Growing up, we didn't take a lot of extravagant vacations. However, every year we made sure we went to the beach and spent a week there together. We'd go camping in the early years, and then we'd rent a house as we got older. He'd take us fishing, clamming, miniature golfing. And those trips actually continued on even after me and Eric got married and the girls came along, and the boys, the grandchildren. He was always involved in the community. As a member of the JCs, he was instrumental in organizing the first youth baseball little league in the area, where he both coached and later on umpired. He ran a fast pitch softball team where he both played and coached. He was involved in the Scouts. One of the things he looked forward to every year in the Scouts was creating the annual Halloween float for the parades. He also played a big part in creating the area's first youth soccer league, where he also coached. I can remember one of his famous lines to his players was that they give 110%. Passion and character. You could even say he was a passionate character at times. He was not afraid to voice his opinion. Not always in the most tactful way, but you knew where he stood. He was genuine, and he wasn't materialistic or showy in that way. And it was always more about function over fashion with him. One of his passions for most of his life was hunting. His Pappy Brown was a mentor to him in that area. And he was good at it. He got a deer every year. He didn't care too much about the size of the antlers. It was mostly about filling his freezer. And once Eric and I were old enough, it was more about us getting the deer. Here's a typical day hunting with my dad. 3 a.m. Saturday or Monday, first day of hunting. Big breakfast, eggs, ham, scrapple. He'd cut up potatoes, make them in a frying pan. We'd eat, and we'd head up to the top of Route 183 where the Appalachian Trail is. And we'd walk in to the pipeline up behind Midway about 3 to 4 miles. We didn't have a flashlight on because that was real hunting. Our forefathers didn't have flashlights. So we'd get to our individual spots and we'd sit till about noon. And then we'd get back together to eat lunch. And at that point, he almost always had eaten all half his lunch already. And meanwhile, me and Eric are still getting over our side stitches from the long walk in with our full stomachs. So Aaron told me one time when he was hunting with him, they met for lunch, and he pulled out an entire unopened package of ring bologna and a block of cheese, and he ate it with his hunting knife. I think it turned into more about him bringing food in and eating than taking it out while we were hunting. But we hunted in all types of weather. We would be out there on a day like this. Rain, snow, sleet, cold. We made a fire one time. It got that cold. And, you know, I can just hear him saying it. You know, now this is real hunting. Here we are in the elements. And if you got a deer, you'd have to drag it back out 3 to 4 miles. And then, of course, either that night or the next day, we would skin it and butcher it, because that was real hunting. An historian, teacher, and storyteller. He loved history. He studied American Indians, frontiersmen, the Civil War. He had a large collection of arrowheads, which he basically found all the arrowheads himself growing up in the local farms. In his early 40s, he tracked our family tree on the Stup side back to the 1700s when they first came over from America. Anybody who's done genealogy knows how difficult that was back in the 80s without the computer, you couldn't just Google things. You actually had to go to historical societies and cemeteries, and I think that's probably the part that appealed to him the most. Mom told us he was actually... accepted to Ursinus College after high school, and he had aspirations to become a history teacher, but unfortunately he didn't have the financial means. So instead he became our personal history teacher. Over the years we sat through countless history lessons and stories and even memorized a few. We'd be sitting around talking and somehow it always like turn into Custard's Last Stand, a story that applied to that or something. How he would do that, I don't know. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that heard some of those same stories. Later in life, he taught children's Sunday school and Bible school. I think he taught all of his grandchildren at one point or another. And one of the unique things about when he taught children, he didn't really lecture and tell long stories when he taught children. What he would do, he'd bring something that he made, he'd use his creativity, or he would come up with a craft for them to make to keep their attention during the story, and he did a good job of that. So I didn't think about like how to close this or anything, but I'll say something cliche. I think the number of people that come and pay their respects and the comments that are made about somebody is a good indication of what kind of life they live. So, and looking here today, I'm sure he lived a good life. Thanks.
If there's anyone else that would like to share this morning about the life of Neil and a journey you had with him, an encounter with him, we would love to be able to encourage the family as they remember and celebrate his life. Just simply raise your hand, or you're more than welcome to come forward and stand at the podium. But I did want to say I appreciate all of you coming to pay respect to my grandfather. Kevin talked about a lot of characteristics of him, and I think we can all just agree in general he was a character, and that's why we all have some sort of memory. Community was a big thing. He wanted to be very involved in the community, and I'm glad that he was able to leave memories with every single one of us that will keep him living on a little bit longer. Originally, they asked me to do a story. I have a lot. I'm very long-winded. Not quite sure where I get that from. But I do want to say that he always loved to entertain people. He was mostly about having friends and family in his company, and he wanted everybody around him to be engaged and having a good time, and that's what made him feel good. So. Lastly, the one thing that I'm going to always have about my grandfather is during big moments, playing sports, pitching, more specifically when I would get the butterflies like I have now, I would always be able to look in the stands and see him giving me a thumbs up. Yes, anyone else?
I just said to Sandy, they covered just about everything I was going to say, but one of the things that I used to kid him about, that he was a cardboard carpenter. He could build anything with a refrigerator box and some wood laths and paint, and we could build anything. If you saw the picture there, we had a fiery furnace up here in the front, and there was a picture of a bus that we drove down, that they brought into the sanctuary, all those things that he was able to create, plus all his woodworking things, which many of them are on display out here, which were really spectacular. And then, of course, as he said, he was a real history buff. He really liked that, and he knew his Bible well. We kind of, in Sunday school class, we kind of called him the Old Testament expert because he really knew a lot about the Old Testament and cared to work in that. And as well as the Civil War and local history and the Indians around here, he had lots of stories. And if you got on the subject at all, you were guaranteed to get a history lesson from him.
Yeah, I can often remember those hospital visits, which would usually be 15, 20 minutes turning into a good 2 hours once those history lessons began and the hunting stories began. I'd love to go in the basement sometime and see the bucket full of antlers, though. I forgot to do that. So is there really a bucket full of antlers in the basement? They're hanging on the wall downstairs? Okay. That's pretty neat. You're going to go up? Okay.
Hello. Neil Stope was a hard man at times. He was also a very good man. Neil was a teacher to me one moment, the next moment I was a teacher to him. We had a strong mutual respect for each other. We were similar in that we are not fancy people, but we are functional people. We don't care about how things look, but how things truly are. Therein lied the common ground that joined us in a 30-year relationship. Then I'm certainly better for. The night Eric and I told Neil Nadeau we were expecting their first grandchild, Neil was so excited. He could not stop talking about all the toys he was going to make. Well, most of you know, he started and he never stopped. I'm really grateful for the kind of grandfather he was to our boys. He could sometimes make things intense because he was passionate, but he also made them fun. He was always loved his family completely and without reservation. One of my fondest memories of Neil was when I was teaching Sunday school. My assignment was to teach the story of baby Moses. I had the idea to turn the curriculum into a play. I wanted to join the older classes to build the set, put on the play for the younger kids. Well, I ran the idea past Neil, the best Sunday school teacher I knew, and he was all in. He had the idea to make marionette puppets as characters for the play. This would not have occurred to me because I can't build anything, but Neil could. He could build anything. He built his 8 puppets, and he acted as a consultant for the building of the set. We had a dilemma as how to get the baby Moses to float slowly down the Nile River. He had a pulley system he was working on, but couldn't quite make it work. I don't remember why, but he was frustrated and it wasn't working. Then I came up with an idea to take one of Aaron and Ethan's little toy cars, you know, the ones that you pull backwards a few times and then they'll fly. Well, if the boys are playing with them, they'll fly. Well, I said, what if we could get it to go nice and slow? It worked like a charm. It worked like a charm, and he was very impressed. That made me very happy because Neil was not an easy man to impress. I'm truly proud to be part of the family of Neil Nadeau Stope. And I'm very grateful to have had Neil as a father figure for the last 30 years. Thank you, Neil.
Amen. Anyone else this morning? Yes.
I was just thinking as you were talking about him, his crafts and his arts. If you ever get over to the Lion's Den and see that replica he made of the old Warrensburg School and all the work and dedication that went into that and ability, I was just amazed with that. And I don't think anybody mentioned about his sense of humor. He had a good sense of humor. He liked to kid people, but if you know me, I like to kid back. And he always took it in good humor. He didn't get angry or anything. And I guess that's about it for now.
Thank you. Anyone else this morning want to share a memory? There's so many going through our minds right now, it's hard to narrow them down. But as the fellowship meal approaches, I'd encourage you when those memories strike you that you'd take that time to share those with the family members. It's just a way of going through the grieving process to hear those memories and just share the life of Neil as we're gathered afterwards for the fellowship meal. Anyone else? Okay, we invite the faithful men to share in a ministry to the family at this time.
One of these days, I'm gonna leave.
I'm gonna leave.
One of these days, I'm going home.
I'm going home.
I'm gonna take my final journey.
My final journey.
I'm gonna rest
neath heaven's blue dome.
Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us all. The joy together we will share. World behind me, going where the devil cannot find me.
I'm going higher,
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 higher.
Stepping on the clouds.
Going past the moon,
going past the moon,
the stars and the planets,
the stars and the planets.
I'm gonna walk on the Milky Way,
on the Milky Way,
when old Gabriel
gives a signal.
I'm gonna leave
for heaven to stay,
for heaven to stay. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us all. The joy together we will share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me.
I'm going higher,
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 higher.
Stepping on the clouds.
Yes, we'll be stepping on the clouds. We'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us all. The joy together we will share.
I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me.
I'm going higher,
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 higher.
Stepping on the clouds.
I'm going higher,
higher.
Saints abide just over in that glory land.
And I long to be by my Savior's side just over in that glory land.
Just over
in that glory land.
I'll join
the happy angel band just over in that glory land.
Just over
in that glory land.
There with
the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in that glory land.
I am on my way to those mansions fair.
Just over in that glory land.
There to sing God's praise and his glory share.
Just over in that glory land.
Just over
in the glory land.
I'll join
the happy angel band. Just over in that glory land.
Just over.
over in the glory land.
I'll
join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. That's where I'll sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Yes, when we
all see Jesus, we'll sing, we'll shout, we'll never be without him. Oh, fly away, oh glory,
oh, fly away.
When I die,
hallelujah, by and by,
I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone,
fly away, fly away.
Like a bird from prison bars has flown,
I'll fly away.
Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away.
We fly away to glory land, glory land.
Amen. As we continue this morning to celebrate the life of Neil, many of us are dealing with mixed emotions. On the one hand, there are emotions of great sadness. Sadness not for Neil because he's in a far better place, but sadness we have lost a dear loved one. For now, we can no longer walk hand in hand with him or laugh hysterically around the tables or share in that next creative project or fish or hunt or learn from his vast knowledge of history. But on the other hand, there's great joy knowing that because of the relationship Neil had with the Lord Jesus, he has already been in his presence. That we too who believe in the Lord and trust him with our lives will have that same opportunity to be reunited with Neil. For the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And for the follower of Christ, there's no greater joy to look forward to. Neil was known to care too much, and he learned that well from his Savior, for he knew Jesus cared unconditionally. Yet you always knew where Neil stood, and you'd learn to read between the lines. Jesus, in many ways, had that same intense passion Neil had when he went about his mission. And that compassion came forth, an honest assessment was at hand. So today need not be a day of mourning, but a day of celebration. I don't think Neil would have any regrets following Christ. And remembering to grasp and carry that legacy on would be of tremendous value to him. His wife, Adele, and him did a lot of things together, shared many memories, as well as the children and grandchildren, of whom the granddaughters may have had it a bit easier. Like Ethan had mentioned, You wouldn't want to be the one babysitting the girls and they end up with an injury. You see, Neil had a relationship that carried some wonderful promises that are found in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And verse 6 continues, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are promises we too can have as followers of Christ, and we no longer need to fear death. Neil knew that Jesus had conquered the grave, and death no longer had a sting. You see, death has no hold on him, nor does it have any hold on us as believers. We may find ourselves troubled when we view death as an end instead of a beginning. But 2 Corinthians 5:1 tells us, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Friends, Neil's life is not over. As a matter of fact, it has only begun. We can learn something very important through his life, that Neil wouldn't ask you to do anything that he hadn't already done. Neil has shed the temporary for the eternal, the tarnished for the spotless, and the passing for the everlasting. That shirt Neil would give you off of his own back is now his testimony that heaven awaits for those who trust in the Lord and care for the least of these. This sacrificial way of living was demonstrated by the Lord Jesus himself, he knew so much about. All that history he gained from reading word after word has found its fulfillment. I simply love how the Bible puts it all in perspective. 2 Peter 3:8-9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as was one day. Not only can we face death without fear, but we are assured Jesus is preparing a place for believers in heaven. But there's more than just a place that he's prepared. Revelation 21:4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Neil, as we have heard, was very, very good at illustrating what he taught. He would spend countless hours making sure the points would stick and they would be memorable. If he could be standing here today, he'd be telling us firsthand about heaven. He'd show us this picture. No, not really. It would more likely be a hand-carved 3D replica, probably even life-size, of a lion. And he'd tell you that this lion is now lying down with this hyena. He'd be sure to explain certain facts to us, that it used to chase down this hyena, but he would never eat it. He would keep us informed that it was only to reduce the competition for the very same prey that that lion consumed. And with the comparison of the hyena he creatively made, he would show us that this lion was 3 to 4 times the size of that hyena. And now next, he may take a finely crafted wooden design of a cheetah. And he'd make sure that you knew the history and the hunting tactics of this animal. That they hiss, that they whine, that they purr, and they don't growl, unlike the lion. And he'd show you this zebra, again, skillfully crafted, and how they would hunt one another. This cheetah would chase down this zebra But now he would tell you, in heaven, they graze together. Then he'd use that masterful mind that he had, and he'd apply it to our lives. And he'd tell us that there is this real battle that is going on between an enemy of God and us. Like those hyenas, which would seize every opportunity to fool those lions so they could cheat them out of their prey. This enemy of God is trying to steal our joy from us. He would be sure to tell us that this is the day that the Lord has made, and to rejoice and be glad in it. Where there were frustrations in life, he'd tell us they have been replaced with unspeakable joys. Where there were pains of life, they're no longer permitted. And the failures of life that controlled us are no longer. There's no such thing as pharmacies and prescriptions to fill. There's not a single hospital or even a nurse checking in on Neil every so many hours asking your name and your date of birth, which we can be assured Neil is very glad of. We'll miss that wisdom. We'll miss that humor very much. But the days of discomfort are finally over. The trips to the doctors have ceased. And all his suffering has ended. That moment, Neil took his final breath on earth and his first breath in heaven. The Lord, our God, was there to welcome him. We can even imagine him with arms wide open, ready to receive Neil into that great mansion that he had prepared for all of his children. And for Neil, he has experienced a love we can't begin to understand. A love that forgives every mistake he had in life, that mends the hurt only he knew, that understood every feeling he had, an unconditional love that completely satisfies the longing of his soul. But friends, Neil would want us to know there's only one way to enter that place. More than anything, Neil understood this. He understood that without a relationship with the Savior, there was no hope of heaven. He understood that Christ came to take away the sins of the world, and that includes his and ours. He believed in the greatest promise given to all found in these three simple verses. John 3:15-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Neil's life, in as much as he could possibly offer, revolved around this promise. And because of that relationship with the Savior, he is in a place that every question he's ever had has been answered. If I could gather one thing from all he taught others, it's the knowledge that it's worth taking every effort to go above and beyond, that people would know the good news. Because this reward of heaven is something we can't buy. It's not something that we can earn. When Neil would make something before going out and buying it, he was showing us that what we needed was already right in front of us. It took a bit of imagination at times, but that vision to create something out of nothing may very well have been born into him from the beginning of time, when God took that empty, formless place and began to create, found in the book of Genesis. Heaven, though, for Neo, is not something he needs to imagine any longer. It truly does exist. And I would sense Neil's desire for each of us to have that same relationship he had with his Savior. We can almost hear him saying, don't leave earth without it. But there may be some of us that haven't given much thought to their eternal future. But today, realizing the frailty of human life, are asking where we might end up if we left this world. I'd like to take just one moment to share a scripture that explains the promise that Neil had, because I feel that's what Neil would want me to do. He was a man of great knowledge and a resource for just about anything. And this verse that stands out to me is found in 1 John 5:12 to 13. It says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Wouldn't it be the greatest feeling to know that we'll spend eternity not only in heaven, but also with our beloved Neil again? The scriptures say that we can know, and it's all through that relationship with Christ. Romans 10:13 makes it clear. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As we sing our final hymn, take a moment and survey our lives. We know that Neil has fought the good fight and finished the race. He has kept the faith. But if he could challenge us one more time, he would say, "How are we doing?" I'll be around after the services and during the fellowship meal. And again, Neil would say, "Don't leave this earth without knowing the Lord." There's more he'd love to share with us, and we can only imagine the history lesson that he's getting in heaven right now. So if you would, please rise if you're able and worship our Lord in appreciation of all that Neil and all that our Heavenly Father has blessed us with and will continue to minister to us in our time of loss. Number 615, "Shall We Gather at the River."
Shall we gather at the river and meet the Lord?
If you would join me in a unison reading from the back of your bulletin, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for the life of Neil. We thank you for all the lives that he has touched and the memories that he has left. And now, Father, we ask that you comfort the many family members and friends that have gathered here and help us to always remember the frailty of life. For it's in your Son's most precious name that we pray. Amen. This concludes the services for Neil Stupp. And one final word from him. He would say, if you don't know the Lord this morning, just once get to know him. There's a fellowship meal downstairs following the services. The family invites you to continue to share in this time of loss and those memories that have forever been placed upon our hearts. Go in peace.